بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا رسول الله رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send peace and blessings upon our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, his companions, and those who follow them until the end of time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to everybody, inshallah. Before we start, just wanted to check in and make sure everybody's well, inshallah. It's important also that we center ourselves, you know, and check in from time to time just on how we're feeling, how we're doing, inshallah. And, you know, to feel heard, oftentimes we may go through like days, weeks, without really feeling anyone has taken the time to listen to us. So I just want to check in, make sure, inshallah, anyone have any needs, everybody's okay. Like, don't be shy, inshallah. Any dua requests, we take them like really seriously, inshallah. So, alhamdulillah, we've been going through this text, Manazil As-Sa'irin of Imam Al-Harawi, who was a great Hanbali scholar. Ironically, this may surprise people, but the majority, a large majority of the early Sufis were actually Hanbalis. And he was known as Sheikh al-Islam. He was someone that was like highly regarded. He wasn't a perfect person. Like, none of these people that we talk about, we should ever think they're perfect. That's not fair for us to place people in places of perfection. But he wrote this really beautiful text that goes through the different stations of Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in, like the inner states of the person. So you could think of this as like a book of fiqh for your heart. It's like fiqh tells us like these are the actions you should be doing, right? Like I should be doing, like if I'm trying to improve my spiritual capacity, my worship, my relationship with Allah, the intimacy of having that relationship. So like, don't do this, don't eat that. You know, stay away from this. Do this a lot. This text is focusing on the inner aspects of that path. And he divided it into a number of sections. And the first is al-bidayat, the beginnings of like emotional religious consciousness, right? The early iterations of religiosity. And that's hard, it's hard for people to do. Every once in a while, I receive a message from somebody who, you know, like faith has called them back, alhamdulillah, or they've recently accepted Islam. And like my advice to them sometimes may frustrate them because I say to them, like, work on loving your parents. Like work on like being a person who cares about people. So what I've noticed is that people tend not to want to work on this stuff. Like we're quick to kind of focus on the externals, but we don't really want to take the time to center ourselves. One of our teachers used to say, if you're not centered, you become a sinner. Right? To have i'tidal, balance. And one of the important components of balance is like to take time out and cultivate the internal qualities. And we live now in an age where people like tend to be divided in the community between like activism and like religious issues. But there should be no like contradiction between the two. If we look at Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he orders Sayyidina Musa and his community to go into the Holy Land. Udkhulu al-ardal muqaddasata allati kataballahu lakum. Like, udkhulu al-ardal muqaddasata allati kataballahu. Go into the sacred land. قَالُوا يَا مُوسَىٰ إِنَّ فِيهَا قَوْمُ جَبَّارِينَ. Like, there's big people in there. We're not going to go in there. وَإِنَّا نَدْخُلُهَا. Like, we're not going to go in there. قَالَ رَجُلَانِ مِنَ الَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ أَنَعْمَ اللَّهُ أُدْخُلُوا الْبَابِ. But two people who fear Allah. So they have activism. They're outwardly active and passionate about causes. But also says, يَخَافُونَ. They have fear of God. So they have the internal and the external. Those two people, what they say? أُدْخُلُوا الْبَابِ. Go. So one of my teachers, he's in jail now in Egypt, may Allah free him. He used to say two people are stronger than a whole nation. Like two people who balance spiritual anchorings with external passions of the activist are aqwa min al-umma kulliha. They're stronger than an entire nation. And we're in a community where we've got to maintain a commitment to our foundations, or we risk being used by others. Because either we're going to worship Allah and be used for His deen, or used by someone else. How do I know that I'm not being, you know, necessarily used? Is that I'm true to my commitment to my principles, my foundations. There's a great article, she was here, Dr. Saad, a few weeks ago about this, like, you know, not every opportunity for exposure is necessarily good, right? Think strategically. So this text focuses on that internal focus with the goal of it leading to like external practice. He never like divorces it from either or. That's why Allah says, "Inna Allah yuhibbu tawwabin wa yuhibbu mutatahirin." Over and over in the Quran you find this idea, right? This duality, inner, outer, inner, outer, inner, outer, outer, inner, always. Allah says that He loves people who repent and He loves people who are physically pure. Because repentance is internal purity. Right? When I repent to Allah, I purify my heart. But when I practice external purity, it's external purity. So there's always this duality. Always this notion of and that's the battle that we all go through. Like none of us are going to achieve like perfection in that, right? There's always that struggle to limit that contradiction. So the first station he began with is al-yaqadha, awakenings. And like we spent a lot of time talking about different ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala careens into our life and presents opportunities for awakenings, whether through great success or great trauma. And we said for a believer, we can simply place success and pain as motivating factors to stay on the way of ihsan. And it's not easy. We talked about finding wisdom and some of those things can be incredibly challenging. And then after that, after we wake up, and this is where we stopped, you know, I wake up, I'm in my room, and like I'm totally awake now. And at that moment, I achieve like some awareness of my true situation. So once I'm aware, then I want to repent. I want to try to fix the things that I've done wrong. So the second stop is where we stopped, is a tawbah, repentance. So we'll quickly go through that, then we'll pray, then we'll start, inshallah, hopefully the end of tawbah, and then start the third one tonight, inshallah. قال الله تعالى وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُوبَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. In the 10th verse of the 49th chapter of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whoever doesn't repent is an oppressor. So that would mean we have something in our tradition called مَفْهُمُ مُخَالَفَ, which means we can invert a text and also take another meaning from it. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُوبَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. So whoever doesn't repent has oppressed himself. What would be the inverse of that? Is that whoever repents is what? Successful. So some of our teachers say, in this verse is a threat and a promise. في هذه الآية وعد والوعيد. Because like the mantuq of the verse, what we read, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُوبَ فَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. It's like, oh snap, if I haven't repented, I'm in big trouble. That's what's read. What's understood though is the opposite, that if I do repent, then I'm going to be what? Successful, subhanAllah. So in one verse, two meanings. And the proof is Allah says, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Allah said in the Quran, believers, all of you repent, you'll be successful. So like, that verse shouldn't just be read to like intimidate me and destroy me. Man, I haven't repented in so long. But at the same time, it's a promise that if I do repent and I do come back to Allah, inshallah, then there's hope. That's why we say there's no verse of the Quran that issues a threat except in it, packed in it, is its opposite. And also, there's no verse that has hope, right, and a promise, except in it is its opposite. That's why Al-Muhasibi, he said that the Quran has a certain number of rights on you. The first one is Al-Amru bi-Hukmi, is to live it. There was a Sahabi, subhanAllah, he was the oldest Sahabi, one of the last Sahaba alive in Iraq. I can't remember his name. And one day, his student came to him and he found him, he was an elderly man. He found him, he was super happy. He said, why are you so happy? He said, today khatamtu Qur'an. Like today I did khatam of Qur'an. He said, man, you became Muslim in the time of Sayyidina Muhammad and you just made khatam today? He said, la ma khatamtuhu bil aqwali, bal khatamtuhu bil af'al. Which means I didn't finish reciting it, I finished acting on it today. So he said, I'm confused. He said, you know, there's this one verse in Surah An-Nur, Ayat al-Istidhan, where if you knock on someone's door three times, they don't answer, farji'u, go back. He said, man, from the time I became Muslim to this day, every time I knocked on somebody's door, they opened the door. So I never had the chance to go back. He said, falhamdulillah, today, nobody answered, faraja'at, wa khatamt, wa hamit. He said, look, today, alhamdulillah, I knocked on the door, and finally nobody answered. I knocked three times, alhamdulillah, nobody answered. So he said, today I finished the Qur'an. SubhanAllah. So the first al-Muhasib, he said, al-amiru bil-hukmi, is to act on it. The second, he said, i'tibar bi-wa'd wa-wa'idi, is to have regard for its promises and its threats. To take those things seriously. The third is to believe in its allegorical verses like Alif Lam Mim Ha Mim. We don't understand what those mean, but we believe in them. And then the fourth, he said, is i'tibar bi qasasi wal hikayati. You know, is to like take benefit from its parables and its stories. It's actually four things. So the verses of Tawbah that encourages us to make Tawbah, the opposite will be if we don't make Tawbah, repent, we're in trouble. The verses that talk about people who don't repent are in trouble. The inverse is that if they do repent, inshallah. So every verse has a duality, subhanAllah. Every verse, and you'll now be able to appreciate why we talked about this last year. كُلُّ آيَةِ الْقُرْآنِ تَقَفْ بَيْنَ الرَّجَاءِ وَالْخَوْفِ. Every verse of Qur'an sits between fear and hope. But the agent is you and me. Who's going to act on what will bring about that sincere hope? And who's going to act on what will bring that sense of fear? SubhanAllah. So the Shaykh, he says, فَأَسْقَطَ اسْمُ الظُّلْمَ عَنِ التَّائِبِ. And that's why he said, you know, the application of oppression is turned or is dropped concerning the person who repents. Then he said, repentance cannot truly happen until we recognize our sins. So we talked about how recognition of sins is one of the greatest blessings of Allah for a person. Because it's one thing for me to wrong someone. Usually when someone wrongs me, I know in my own life, I just cut them off, man. Unless it's like a family member. But like if someone wrongs me, like the easy way is like I'm out. Or I put them on blast. Right? Those two are simple. Because when I put people on blast, I make myself look good. Unless they need to be put on blast. We should do a class to fiqh of putting people on blast. But very rarely am I going to go and tell that person, hey, this is how you messed up. Here's how you can fix it. Because that takes a lot of time. So the Shaykh, he says, وَلَا تُصِحُ التَّوْبَةِ إِلَّا بِمَعْرِفَةِ الذُّنُوبِ. Shaykh, he said, like, real tawbah doesn't happen unless I become aware of my mistakes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so merciful that He makes someone aware of their mistakes and then guides them to want to repent to Him. ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا إِنَّهُ بِهِمْ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Surah At-Tawbah said that Allah turned to them so they would repent to Allah. meaning Allah turned to them by showing them their mistakes so that they would feel a sense of, now I need to return. And that's why the verse says, إِنَّهُ بِهِمْ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. With them, God has been merciful, forgiving, and kind. So we should never, like, when we have those moments, we talked about this before, of awareness, where we're brought into a state where I feel like I've done some things that are bad. I should not allow that to consume me and destroy me, but I should say, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has awakened me to the situation, al-yaqadha, and now I need to turn back to Him. So like, that's why subhanAllah, one of our teachers used to say, whoever finds themselves aware of their illness, their sicknesses, right, should understand that Allah loved them. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened a door back in spite of ourselves, subhanAllah. So like, again, we talked about before, being aware of evil has a potential for great change. But if I allow it to destroy me, then that's where shaitan now is coming into play and, like, you know, trying to cause me to lose hope. Then he said, recognizing, so, and he said, like, true repentance can only happen when we understand the gravity of what we've done. And that involves three things. Number one, I realize that when I perform the sin, I've harmed a special relationship between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, that unique relationship with Allah, number two is that, like, I enjoyed it. Like, I actually enjoyed the sin. Like, I enjoyed ma'asi. I enjoyed disobeying the one who created me, the one who guided me. And the third, he said, you will understand the gravity of this when you realize you're never alone. Huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum. So like, I did it, even though as a believer or as a Muslim, I know Allah. He said, the language he used, nadhara ilayk, staring at you. So there was a moment where my yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala seeing me has been compromised. And then, as we know, he likes to talk about things in threes. So he said the conditions of repentance are three. We talked about it. Number one, a nadam is regret. To feel a sense of remorse, man. The Prophet said, a tawbah to nadam. Number two is a deep awareness of what I've done. A mindfulness of the mistake I've made. Number three, i'tiraf, a sincere apology. And we should never understand that these things are impossible. Like, I have a problem when people teach kind of books of tasawwuf, like the way that it's phrased, it's like, it's not for us. But this is for us, man. Right? It doesn't mean like, oh, what if I don't do it perfect? Well, you're not perfect in the first place. It's okay, man. You know, subhanAllah, I was in a nightclub. I was 17 years old, man. And I was reading the Quran at that time in the restroom of my mother's house. And I used to get into clubs because I could DJ, so they would let me in because I was, you know, not very small. People didn't know how old I was. And I remember, man, I was DJing. Then I went into the restroom. I started crying in the restroom. I said, if you're Buddha, if you're Jesus, if you're Allah, if you're whoever, I'm sorry for like living my life like this. So like, if it could happen in a toilet, man, you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're in a mosque and you made wudu and you left class early or you came from work early to repent, like, you're not in the restroom DJing with a bag of weed in your pocket. So you should never allow, as Imam Ibn Ta'ala said, if you feel destroyed by your sins, then drown in transcendent rahmah. And if you've taken your sins lightly, then drown yourself in transcendent justice. There has to be a balance. And I have a problem when people make these things so linear, like, you gotta be like absolutely perfect. There can't be one wrinkle in your clothing. We do that to the Muslim community because, you know, modernity has played a game on everybody. But like, We're human beings.
Don't you think Allah is kind enough and loving enough to know that you're trying your best? So when I'm talking about these things, we mentioned this early on, even if you're up by 31 points, okay, you shouldn't get laxed. And even if you're down by 31 points, don't get laxed. Anyone saw that game last night? That was amazing, mashallah. But the point I'm trying to say is, like, don't allow notions of perfection to destroy yourself. At the same time, don't allow notions of, like, we're going to talk about this later, like, Allah's forgiving, alhamdulillah, 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 to destroy you. So the Shaykh, he said, you know, a deep awareness of who you are. You need to be mindful. I need to be mindful of who I am. And a sincere apology. And then al-iqla', which means to leave it. We talked about what that means, like if there's addiction involved, if there's some kind of mental or psychological challenge, those are very different than being able to stop something immediately. Or by stopping it, if it creates a greater harm in my life, those are issues that are different. Those are issues that we take into consideration as strategy. And then he says that the subtleties, the realities of repentance, the haqiqa of repentance are also three things. Understanding the magnanimity of the sin, charging your soul, indicting your soul until it feels that it needs to repent, and then seeking forgiveness. And then he says that the deep secrets of repentance are also three. Distinguishing the anchor from deception, meaning like when I repent, coming out of doing evil, am I going to rely on God or evil? So deception from what should be a true anchor. And we'll finish here, inshallah. Then forgetting the sin, meaning after years and years and years, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought you into a different state, in a different practice, you've replaced evil with good, then keep on that path. Remember Allah's mercy more than you remember the sin, because Allah has established you on His obedience. And then the last is that constantly stay in repentance. Like throughout your life, make it a habit. And that's because Allah says, and what He means here is like, don't feel like just because you're good, everything's great, like you're not committing, you're not making mistakes. No, always, alhamdulillah, repent. Because Allah says, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Believers, repent. He said, believers, they're still sinning. So we'll stop here and then we'll continue. We'll finish this part of the text and then we'll move on to the third station. InshaAllah ta'ala wa naktafi bihada wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.